Hi, I'm Will Thomas at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. I'm using the Railroads and the Making of Modern America project in my teaching at the 200 level, especially, but also at the 300 and 400 level. I teach the U.S. History Survey course, 1877 to the present. There's several hundred students in the class, and in that course, at the 200 level, I use the project in several different ways. The first way is to teach students how to work with and understand, and especially to read, primary historical sources. I consider that one of the most important building blocks of the survey course, and the emphasis is really placed in the course and in this activity on historical thinking, getting students to understand the past, to understand the discourse of the past, and to think about the past differently from the present. To do this, I start with Alan Pinkerton's document that's in the Railroad Project. It's an excerpt from his book entitled Strikers, Communists, Tramps, and Detectives, and it's his take on the Great Railway Strike of 1877. I put up the document on the overhead projector and show it to the class. And as we do that, we talk about identifying keywords in the document. Well, certainly, strikers, communists, tramps, and detectives are keywords, but there are others located in the text that we've excerpted. Anarchy, riot, capital. These are keywords that Pinkerton uses to great effect. And we talk about why Pinkerton might select those words and not others, and what his purpose is. And we then turn to from identifying keywords to trying to abstract those out into broader themes. And beyond that, the third step in working with a document is to ask students to consider not just the keywords and the themes in the document, but what are the rhetorical strategies behind the document, behind the author's intent? And so with Pinkerton, it's a fascinating document. He's got themes about the role of women in the strike, about the strike as foreign or inspired or connected to the workers' movements in Europe. And he talks consistently about it disturbing the natural harmony of capital and labor in America. But he uses a variety of rhetorical strategies as well. He identifies himself as a worker. He compares the strike to the Civil War, the great national conflict, and what it demanded of Americans. And he also invokes kinds of universal law and history to persuade his audience that the strike is somehow operating against those universal laws and against history. So that's the first effort, is to try and read a primary source carefully and thoroughly and to understand the way it works. I then use the Railroads Project to ask students to write on a primary source, and in this case I direct them to one of the topics. I choose the origins of segregation because early on in the survey, I want to set up the experience of segregation, the legality and the racism behind segregation in American society in the late 19th century. And the origins of segregation topic has a wide variety of documents in it for students to work with. What I do is I assign each student to pick a document. They then go and research everything they can find out about that document using ProQuest and other library resources that our university has. So, in other words, what they do is they take the document, keyword it, develop the themes behind it, try to identify the rhetorical strategies, just as we did with the Pinkerton document. They do that with the document they're working with on the origins of segregation. And then they go into the wider databases and data sets that are available to them, 19th century newspapers, ProQuest, American Memory. the National Archives and Records Administration, and they research that the context of that document, whether it's a court case or a book that's published, an excerpt from a book, they try to research that. So it builds their research skills as well as their understanding of the topic itself, the subject itself. I also use The Railroads and the Making of Modern America, especially the views section, as simply lecture material or classroom presentation material. And in this case, a good example might be the land sales in Nebraska view. I take this particular view and shape it and work with the material in it, as well as the topic on land sales migration, and show a variety of the visualizations in the project. In particular, I show the railroad expansion in Nebraska from 1865 to 1886 and talk about the land grants to the Union Pacific and the Northern Pacific and the visual growth of the rail network as example of expansion of the U.S., of the density of it, even in the Great Plains, of its variation over time, particularly the Depression of 1873 and how that affected the growth of the railroad. We talk about the language of the boosters about civilization and modernity and linking the communities out in the rural areas to the great cities and metropolises of the East and indeed of Europe by the railroad. We look at the letters of G.P. Cather, for example, the Burlington land agent, in which buyers are inquiring about land, about water, about timber. They have detailed questions about the character of the land and the agriculture. And we focus on the modern marketing system of the Burlington. They have agents in Europe, and they have land agents like Cather in Webster County, Nebraska. So this is an opportunity to teach students about the land sales, not just as large land grants, but how they operated, how they actually worked. Particularly useful for this are the Burlington land contracts that are in the site. The different terms on which they were drawn up, how landowners might feel mortgaged to the railroad, and the speed of migration and immigration patterns of settlement. Several of those Burlington contracts for land show buyers who've been in the United States for, say, 5 days. Well, this gives students a very different perspective on the whole land sales effort and of the transcontinental and its importance. Finally, and similarly, I use the project in lecture or classroom presentation on workers and workers' lives, using the payrolls and the employees database that we have to show the vast array of jobs that railroad workers participated in. In 1880, the number of railroad workers was estimated by the U.S. Census to be around 480,000 people. It was one of the fastest growing jobs classifications in the country in the 3 decades before that. And they're both construction workers and railway operations workers. And so the geographical and job diversity of this work is extraordinary. And that becomes apparent when students work with the payrolls and look at different railroads and different occupations. And finally, I spend some time on politics and use the William Jennings Bryan material that we have in the site for that, discussing why the period from, say, 1894 or 95 to 1910 was such an intense period of anti-railroad political backlash in the West and particularly the South, but in the nation broadly, and why where the reform impulse came from and how it developed. for more government control or oversight of something like the railroads. I think we see in that Bryan's set of documents, both his speeches in 1896, which we've collected, and also the 1894 documents and his U.S. Senate campaign in particular, where we start to see the way that politics and large business corporations like the railroads were working in the 1890s, and the way people perceived, where American voters perceived these activities, especially concerned with the monopoly control of a large system like the Northern Securities Company, or the fear of payroll and political corruption on the part of the large railroads. So these views and topics in the larger project are extraordinarily useful, I think, for classroom presentation. At least I have found them to be extraordinarily useful. Students can certainly write large papers on out of the project and investigate all the different documents that are contained in it. But I've tried to present the project in terms of its direct classroom activity. And I think a lot of these techniques can be used at a variety of levels, whether the 200 level, the 300 level, or the 400 level in university, or in the high school level of U.S. history in secondary schools. Thank you for using Railroads and the Making of Modern America, and good luck in your teaching.